This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever there seems to have a low spirit, whenever it seems that the people are starting to lose hope, his methodology in life is as follows, is to bring the hope back up. That's how he operates, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sees the situation is very scary, he does not intensify the fear, rather he tries to show you the hope, tries to show you the light. And this is who he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's one example after the other. In one narration, Adi bin Hatim radiallahu anhu, he said, I was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was at a time where the Muslim Ummah was at a very weak point. One man walked in, and Adi saw, and he was next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The man that walked in, what's the problem? He came with a complaint. He said, Ya Rasulullah, the economy is very bad. Al-Faqa, we're struggling financially. There's a financial crisis, Ya Rasulullah. Then someone else walked in, a second complaint. Which one is it now? It's about safety and security. Ya Rasulullah, thieves, people cheating, bribery, this and that. Ya Rasulullah. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listens to these complaints, and I want you to imagine at such a low, negative, quote-unquote, situation, he goes to Adi and he tells him, Ya Adi, and he tells him five things. Have you ever seen Al-Hira? What's Al-Hira? Al-Hira is a location around the Persian Empire at that time, next to the Furat River. So Adi says, I have not seen Al-Hira. It's a very prestigious city, but I heard about Al-Hira. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَإِن طَالَتْ بِكَ حَيَا يَا عَدِي, if you were to live long enough, you will see something. What's that thing, Ya Rasulullah? You will see a woman by herself traveling from Al-Hira all the way to Mecca, makes tawaf around the Kaaba. She fears no one but Allah. How is the Prophet saying this when men in the city are saying, we cannot buy and sell highway robberies? Adi says, I told myself, the Prophet didn't hear me. He says, وَأَيْنَ دُعَارُ طَيِّ. What is he saying? We come from Al-Hira to Mecca. He's like, where is Du'ar Tayyi? Tayyi was a gangster group. Their thief, سَعَرُ الْبِلَادِ. They ruined entire Arabia with their theft. So he's wondering, how can a sister by herself cross with these people existing? But he accepts the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he says, number two, وَلَئِن طَالَتْ بِكَ حَيَا, and if you were to live long enough, Ya Adi, لَتُفْتَحَنَّ كُنُوزُ كِسْرَى, the treasures, the mansions, the wealth of Kisra, the leader of the time of the Persian Empire, the Muslims will conquer. There's only one famous Kisra. The Prophet doesn't even give you the full name. It says Kisra. So Adi, he's like, Kisra ibn Hormuz? Ya Rasulullah, Kisra, the son of Hormuz? The Prophet says, Kisra ibn Hormuz. Allahu Akbar. Then number three, وَيَا عَدِي, if you live long enough, what happens? A time will come where the Ummah will have so much money, gold and silver, you would to give someone amount of money, they say, no, I don't need. Allahu Akbar. The level of wealth and the comfort and the dunya that Allah will bring forth, may Allah protect our hearts. Then he says, number four, and he did not say this time, if you live long enough, this one, you will face it regardless. Which is it? What's number four? And everyone will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no translator between you and Allah. Allah knows what you're saying. You will understand what Allah is saying. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell that person, have I not sent you a messenger? Have you not received the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then the person says, Bala, yes, Ya Allah, I did receive it. Then Allah says, have I not given you money? Have I not given you the skills, the blessings? Ufaddil alayk. And the person says, yes, Ya Allah, you did. Then the person looks to his right, sees nothing but the hellfire. Looks to his left, sees nothing but hellfire, Jahannam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the fifth one, he says, ittaqu an-nar, fear Jahannam, fear the hellfire. Out of all the things that can the Prophet tell us, what was it that he focused on? وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ. Even if it was a donation You're not donating actual money, a piece of a date. Whatever you can to protect yourself from Jahannam, give in sadaqah. If you cannot, then what do we do, Ya Rasulullah? فَبِكَلِّمَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ Then say a good word. Give people some hope. Correct something that is wrong. Express good akhlaq and character if you don't have. Now Adi, what does he say? I lived long enough. Now listen, this hadith was narrated many years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. Adi lived a long life. So Adi said, I lived long enough and I saw with my own eyes. I saw with my own eyes a sister. Where are you from? I'm not from Medina. I'm not from Tabuk. I'm not from Najd. I'm from Al-Hira. Allahu Akbar. By yourself, sister, by herself. She came all the way and she was doing tawaf around the Kaaba. She feared no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sadaqa Rasulullah. He said the truth. Then Adi says, and I lived long enough. What was the second one? I was among the army that we conquered the Persian Empire. It's not that I heard, I saw. I was in that army. And we took over Kisra ibn Hurmuz's wealth. Allahu Akbar. Then he tells the companions, he did not live to the third one. He did not live, but he tells them with confidence. And if you all live long enough, you will see what the Prophet has told us will come true. May Allah allow us to be able to believe in every promise Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned. Do you see what has happened? People complaining, poverty, security, we will conquer. Allahu Akbar. This is who he was sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Bring the hope back up. We are a ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What was one of the lowest points, one of the most terrifying points? Allah himself says in the Quran. Allah himself says in the Quran, one of the scariest points to the Muslim ummah was in the battle of the trench. When all the Arab gathered and it was initiated, the battle of the trench, who initiated it? Huyay ibn Akhtab, the Yahudi leader of the Bani Nadir. So he collaborated with Ghatafan. He collaborated with Quraysh. Yalla, let's all come together and end Muhammad once and for all. As they were digging the trench, they had approximately 2 weeks to dig about 3 miles, about 10 feet wide, 15 feet deep or so. That's how much work they have to do. In 2 weeks, Sahaba, young and old, Rasulullah himself is digging until they came across what? A rock, a massive rock. They said, Ya Rasulullah, help us out, because no man is stronger than Rasulullah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam grabs the mi'wal, like an axe or like a hammer. So he comes in a, such a difficult situation. We can't waste a single second, 24/7 working. Quraysh and the people, 10,000, the biggest army ever assembled, coming to attack us in Medina. Let's work, because this rock, they can go over it and attack us. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, he hits the rock. What happens? 1/3 of the rock breaks. So the Prophet says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah made me see something. What did you see, Ya Rasulullah? I see the mansions of the Roman Empire, the superpower, Ya Rasulullah, the superpower, and Allah gave me the keys to it. So for the way for us, subhanAllah, the Prophet to conquer the Roman Empire, he had to break through the rock. And many of us in our lives, we have rocks. And you will not take the keys of this or keys of that or succeed in this project or that mission until you break through the rock that Allah placed in your life. Then Allah will show you his ayat and miracles at an even grander scheme and a grander scale. So then he did not give up. The rock is still not fully broken. They can come. Khalid bin al-Walid will eventually come. So he, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and he hits the rock. Then the second third of the rock breaks. Then he says, Allahu Akbar, Allah made me see something. I can see it from here. He's in Medina. What is it? The palaces, the mansions of Kisra, the Persian Empire will take over bi-idhnillah. Now who is hearing this? Muslims from the outside. Disbelievers from the inside. AKA Munafiqun. Munafiqun are in Medina, they're hearing this. Conquer the Roman Empire, and then the Persian and the Muslims will be victorious and we will be honored. So one of the Munafiqeen says, he is saying all these promises and we're not even comfortable to use the bathroom. Look at the Munafiqeen, put you down. Oh, all this loud people coming, this sheikh, this da'i, this ustad, this sister, this brother, bringing the spirit up. All that is fake, all that is nonsense, be realistic. Be transparent. This is realistic. This is transparency. This is the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the absolute truth. So the munafiqeen back then tried to make us feel down, hopeless, you're meaningless. Look at the value. A panda, it's a true story, a panda comes from China all the way to Canada for a cure, all over the news, a panda. And today, a massacre in front of a hospital in Gaza, and very few channels cover it. May Allah forgive us. But your value may be low in the sight of the people, but wallahi, it's high in the sight of Allah. And that's what matters the most. And that's how Umar looked at the people's lives. When people came to Umar, when he was the Khalifa, they said, Umar asked, who in my army have passed away? So they said, Ya Umar, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, so-and-so died, so-and-so died, so-and-so died, and others, you do not know their names. So Umar said, if Umar does not know their names, then Allah knows their names. Allah knows their names. They're not just numbers. This was said back in the day with Umar radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yalla, one last third of the rock. He comes, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, breaks it. And the entire rock collapses. And he says, I can see it. What do you see? Not north, this time south. He sees Yemen. Yemen, that was not close to even Islam at that time. He says, Yemen, I see Yemen. Islam will spread, and la ilaha illallah. We have many of brothers and sisters, whether from the Roman back in the day or the Persian, and many of our brothers and sisters in Yemen, subhanallah. May Allah make us people that trust Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This who he was, this is the attitude of the believer. Bring the spirits as high as possible, but be careful, using what Allah and the Prophet had said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah make us people of the Quran. May Allah make us people of the authentic narration of Muhammad alayhi salatu was salam. I say whatever I have said, and I ask Allah to forgive me and forgive you all. Allah is the most forgiving. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Brothers and sisters, these high hopes and these high spirits, they come when we are patient. They come when we persevere. They come when we struggle. It comes when we are real men and women. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how was the situation back in Mecca? Abu Jahl, one time in authentic hadith, Abu Jahl looked to his companions and he saw Muhammad making sajda and praying in front of the Kaaba. So Abu Jahl tells his people, look at this show off, هذا المرائي. Look at this guy bragging in front of our own faces. La ilaha illallah, praying in front of the Kaaba. Who among us can go and get us some remainings of a dead camel not too far from here? Bring the dung, bring the waste of the camel that was slaughtered and drop it. Look at Abu Jahl. Drop it when? Right when he is in sajda, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knows. So then Uqba says, I will do it. Uqba, you have slaves. Uqba, send someone else. You got the money. No, that's the level of hate he had, that he personally wants to go visit that site and to show that I stand with so-and-so. Allahu Akbar. A lot of Uqbas today. So Uqba with his own hand goes to that slaughtered camel, brings the dung and the waste. You can imagine the blood, the smell, disgusting, over his clothing. And Uqba waits by the Prophet. The Prophet cannot see. Uqba's waiting and waiting until the Prophet makes sajda. When he makes sajda, what happens? Uqba drops all that filth on the back of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know what's so sad? Who's a narrator? Who tells us a story? It was a sahabi. Authentic hadith. He says, I saw this, but I couldn't clean his back. I want to ask you a question. Who is in more pain? You today, that you have very limited means to help your brothers in Gaza and other places of suffering, or the sahaba's pain? They see the Rasul being tortured and they cannot help him. Who's in more pain? They were in more pain. It's Rasulullah himself being tortured. And the Sahabi said, Laysa hunaka mana'a. We cannot go and help him. So don't think the fact that you cannot help is a sign that you're an evil person. Allah doesn't want the best for you. Allah is such and such. No, Allah wants the best for all the believers, bi'idnihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sahabi said, I could not help him. I could not clean the back of the Prophet. So be careful how we act with wisdom, bi'idhnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, there's a lady. She saw this. She ran. To whom did she run? She ran to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She knocked on the door. She knocked so fast. Who opened? Fatima radiallahu anha. Wa hiya juwayriya. She was a young girl, 8 to 10 years old. That's it. Your dad. They ganged against him. They threw filth on his back. He's still in sajda. He's still in sajda. So Fatima tassa, and she was running, radiallahu anha, running and running, and she's cleaning the back of her father. And one of the very few times in authentic seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she curses at the Quraysh. She swears at them. But look at this wording, ready? فَلَمَّا انْتَهَى النَّبِيُّ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. When the Prophet finished his salah. Forgive me, I'll say it three times. When the Prophet finished his salah. When the Prophet finished his salah, he got up and he says, Allahumma alayka bi Quraysh. Ya Allah, destroy Quraysh. Ya Allah, destroy Amr ibn Hisham, Abu Jahl, Utba bin Rabi'a, Shayba bin Rabi'a, Uqba bin Abi Ma'it. He names them one by one. Ya Allah, destroy them. Ya Allah, destroy them. But what's the key thing? He did not become hasty. He finished his salah. Because he knows for Allah to accept my dua, he knows for Muslims to be victorious, he knows for the enemy to be defeated, I gotta finish my salah. So that parking lot, may Allah bless this masjid, and the imams of this masjid, and the organizers behind this masjid, the volunteers and the staff, may Allah grant them all Jannah, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Keep this number coming to the masjid as much as you humanly possibly can. I work in the corporate world, many of you do as well. We cannot be here all five, but show Allah, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Show Allah that you're having taqwa as much as you possibly can. When he finished his salah, he made this dua, the dua of the Prophet. This was early Mecca, mid Mecca or so. How long after this did Allah destroy Abu Jahl? Not until he left to Medina. There's a wisdom why Allah's delaying the actual response. Or Allah is timing it in the most wise way because Allah is Al-Hakim Al-Alim. Then you see Sahaba Bilal and Ammar and Sumayya radiallahu anha, the first one to ever die fi sabilillah. The first blood to ever be shed for the sake of Allah was a woman. Allahu Akbar. Sumayya radiallahu anha. When Abu Jahl and the enemy could not break her soul, but they chose to break her body. You may be broken physically, but you may inshallah maintain your spirituality. Cancer may kill someone's body, but it may never kill someone's soul. That's why Allah says, لا يكلف الله. Allah will never overburden what? The body, al-jism? لا. Allah says, I will never overburden the soul with something it cannot handle. How many people are dying? And they are giving us hope. And we are 10 times healthier than them, physically. But we are sick and dying spiritually. But they're super alive. They're so strong. How many videos, right? Just yesterday, going viral of people, non-Muslims, they say these Muslims in Gaza specifically, how can they say Alhamdulillah? How is it that they live by La ilaha illallah? People that you will never imagine, the da'wah will come, not from you and you in Dallas, not from Florida. The da'wah reached the core of America from people in an open prison. La ilaha illallah. The souls can be so strong that no weapon, that no missile can ever break. May Allah grant us such high iman, Ya Rabbal Alameen. But then, we're human beings. We're human beings. Khabbab radiallahu anhu, he goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it got too much. It got really rough, very bad. So much so that Khabbab, I'll give you one thing about Khabbab. Many years after the Prophet died, Abu Bakr Siddiq died, Khabbab lived until the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu. So Khabbab's back was revealed, his back. So when Umar saw Khabbab's back, he could not believe it. The narration says, I have never seen someone's back tortured the way Khabbab's back was tortured. Allahu Akbar. Why? Khabbab said, let me explain. They used to, back in the day in Mecca, when they used to torture us, they used to put fire coal and fire stones on the ground. Fire! And the thing that turns off that fire was my back. They used to pick me and they throw me on the back and then my back melts, then the fire cools off. So Khabbab goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah, O Prophet of Allah, khalas, you can sense the feeling of pain. Ala tastansiru lana? Ala tad'u Allah lana? Will you not make dua? Let's get this thing rolling, Ya Rasulullah. And Khabbab was not slapped once. Khabbab was not punched. Khabbab was put in fire until he mentioned that complaint. May Allah make us strong, Ya Rabbal Alameen. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'll end with this hadith inshaAllah, then one short hadith of hope, bi-idhnillah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not appreciate very much what Khabbab said. What, really? Yes. He got up and he was angry. His face got red. Why? He said, there were people back in the day, they used to maintain their faith to the extent people will dig a hole in the ground, put the Muslim body in the ground alive, and they will be told to let go of their faith. Ya'ti bi minshar, gets like a chainsaw, puts it on top of their head, and they ask them to leave their faith, and they maintain their faith until they are chopped in half. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, authentic hadith. Then he says, that does not shake their faith. Allahu Akbar. Then he says, and there is another group of people, yumshatuna, they used to be combed. In what sense? A comb from iron that peels the skin off of the bone. And that does not shake their iman. May Allah grant us such strong iman. Ya Rabbal Alameen. But what does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He gives him hope. Time will come. This deen will be victorious. This deen will be victorious. Look to what he ends. Ready for the ending? وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعَجِلُونَ But you guys are hasty. You guys are in a rush. Yalla, where is it? It's 20-some days. It's 3 years. It's 75 years. It's 200 years. Rush, rush. Don't think of human beings' lives associated to these narrations. Look at the nation's lives. Because if Islam were to die with the death of anyone, it were to die with the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It didn't die. The deen grows and the Prophet promises are applied. And to end with what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last narration as promised, there's a sahabi, his name is Abdullah ibn Hawala. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, لَتُفْتَحَنَّ لَكُمُ الشَّامِ Soon the Levant or Asham area will be opened for the believers. Then he says, then the treasures will be distributed amongst them. So much so that there is so much money that a person will be given 100 dinar, a lot of money, but they have no interest in it. Then the Prophet, he put his hand over the head of Ibn Hawala. He put his hand over his head. Well, then he said, Ya Ibn Hawala, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الْخِلَافَ نَزَلَتْ بِأَرْضِ الْمُقَدَّسَةِ When you see that the caliphate enters to the أَرْضِ الْمُقَدَّسَةِ the blessed land, then that is around the time الزلازل والبلايا والأمور العظام. That's around the time of earthquakes, disasters, and calamities. Then he says, and when this all happens, the closeness of Yawm al-Qiyamah to these events is like the closeness of my hand to your head. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.